Hey kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit VoicesOfWrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. Amen. No rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. Amen. No rain.
Hey, now it's the Mike and JD Show, and I am your host, coming live from my bedroom, actually, Mike Gilbert. And I'm joined, as always, by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
I'm all right, man. Coming off 10 days on break. Got to go back to work tomorrow. And then the final countdown begins. 7 weeks till the end of the school year.
Man, and then you're going to be done with your master's soon, too, right? Like, we're counting.
3 weeks. Three weeks. Till the end of school, the end of grad school. Very excited.
What's your master's in?
Career technical education.
Okay.
That's my department. It's like tech. I'm a tech teacher.
Yeah, like a nerd.
Pretty much. And like actually, it encompasses like career tech encompasses like agriculture. We call it ag. Okay. Like wood shop, metals, welding, family consumer science, which is a fancy way of saying home ec. Okay. And of course, my graphic design and video production, which where I'm at. So it's a nice little catch-all for those kind of things. And then 4 weeks till my tournament, so lot on the plate.
Man, yeah, you're a busy guy.
Always
a lot going on in the Gilbert household. If you guys could tell, I'm in a different location. I'm in my bedroom, and this was like a very last second decision. So we put my kid down like 90 minutes ago, and we were like. He doesn't sleep very long in the afternoon, so maybe he'll just get up before it's time for me to go record. And then, like, so I record at 4:30 in the afternoon Hawaii time, right? So I know it's what time is there, like 9:30 something?
9:30.
Yeah, so as you can tell, the sun's just beaming through my bedroom window. There's birds chirping outside. There's kids running around frolicking in the grass out
there.
Surreal. I know. So I was thinking that he would be up by 4:30, and – he is in there snug as a bug, dude. Like, this brother is just out cold. He slept all through, like, he had a lot of trouble sleeping this week. It's been a tough week on everybody. He's just like, two nights ago, he got up like every hour. He was like gassy. He's teething, so he's like, you know, we're fighting a fever and all that stuff. And last night he slept all through the night. I put him down at like 8 o'clock and he didn't get up till like 6 this morning. And then like earlier today he had like an hour long nap in the morning, like in the mid morning, and then he's been in there for like 90 minutes right now. So it's been pretty crazy. So this kid's sleeping off his rough few days that he's had. So he needs it. So I'm like, I'm not going to wake this little guy up so that I can go do my nerdy wrestling show. I'll just, I'll move everything over to the bedroom. So that's what we're doing. So it doesn't look the same, but I guarantee you the same content. But like as Junkyard Akiyama says, Mike Gilley with Meltzer vibes holding the microphone. Yeah. I wish Dave Meltzer on his show would be holding a landline telephone. Like that would be like
the best.
That would be the best, Dave, I think.
So they make landline telephones, right? Or like Mike.
JD, are you there?
Motherfucker. It's going to be.
JD, are you there? Okay, I think we lost JD for a minute. He's going to figure his stuff out. He might have to escape and come back in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run down what we're talking about today. So, JD, you're here.
I'm here. I'm rebooting my box, so whatever. I'll be in and out for a minute, I guess. I had a joke. So can
you
make it?
You were just making fun of Dave Meltzer for his technological failures, and like, here you are.
Exactly. Bitter irony.
And then JD cuts out again, which is absolutely perfect. All right, so JD will be back in a minute. He lives out in the boondocks. He lives out in the sticks. So we're gonna he'll figure that out. So here's what we're gonna do. So today's show, as you guys could tell, we got the big thumbnail with Gail Kim on the front of it. Total nonstop chaos. We're gonna dig into the TNA story from all angles. I had some inside info this week. My friend BQ had some info. And then, of course, Mike Johnson's had some reports. Sean Ross Sapp's had a ton of reports. Dave Meltzer talked about it. I've read everything. I was uniquely involved in some of it. I actually was quoted by Fightful this week and by Dave Meltzer this week. So I'm actually going to set up a merch table at Ala Moana Mall later this week and see if anybody wants my autograph, since I am out there, been published by many websites this week. But I've been all over that, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to get into some free agency news today. Saraya is out. Kevin Knight is in. Mariah May, we don't know what's going on with her. TNA just signed somebody, and AJ Styles might be on his way out of WWE, so we're going to talk about that. And, of course, we're going to get to the chat. Chat, if you got certain topics, specific topics you want us to hit, lay it down. If you want to guarantee our attention, throw us a super chat. But JD, you are back in action. So we're going to move on from the topic that we started off with. Let's just get right into the show. Okay. So TNA, I think it was Tuesday. Yeah, it was Tuesday. It's been a long week. I went live on the YouTube channel on Tuesday, and I went live on Twitter. I had one of our biggest like live audiences that we've ever had on our channel during that live thing. I just happened to be home, so that worked out. Gail Kim, who's been heading up the talent relations department for TNA for the last year or so, maybe longer, maybe 2 years. She's been talent relations and she's been a producer. Was fired by TNA. Ariel Schnerner, whatever his last name is.
Schnerner?
Yeah. He essentially was the Triple H of TNA, but he was like the chief creative officer. I don't know exactly what the label they gave him, but that was kind of the way it was explained to me. Like that was his job. He basically effectively, he was the running the day-to-day operations of TNA. So he was, even though they gave the TNA president title to somebody else, he was the guy that actually was doing a lot of Scott D'Amore's daily operations. Okay. So he got shit canned as well. And then a bunch of people in the, that you guys have probably never heard of. And I did a deep dive explaining some of them. I actually got some inside info on some of these people. I put it out in a tweet. I talked about it on Patreon already. So the information is out there. Yeah. Triple H doesn't see color or read lawsuits. Maybe that was Ariel. Maybe that's why he got fired. Maybe because he's colorblind. Being colorblind can disqualify you for certain jobs. Actually, that is like a legit thing. So you do have to be able to see color to have certain jobs in life. But and I'll run down some of their names. Rob Kligman, who was in charge of ads, he did a great job. Actually, I got the info that I was able to get was he actually was the first guy in that position of the chief financial revenue officer. He was the first guy in that position that actually was getting like outside sponsorships and was generating revenue for the company. Now, like for a company this small that doesn't really generate a lot of revenue, like he did almost $1 million in ad sales within a 12-month period for TNA, which is insane, right? So he did a great job. He did such a good job that he's out. He's fired. Michael Shevchenko, digital guy, he's fired. Romy Glazer. I said this on Patreon, but I'm pretty sure when I first heard the name Romy Glazer, I thought that was a pro wrestler name. I was like, nobody's name can be that cool. Like, I don't think that's like a legitimate name, but nope, turns out that's her real name. She was also in the marketing department and was doing live event marketing for them and digital marketing. She's gone. She was a contractor for them. So she wasn't a full-time employee, but they went ahead and let her go. Rafael Morphy, who was doing some of their live events, guy responsible for a lot of the big gates. They just did two tapings in El Paso a couple weeks ago, and they did well over 3,000 each night, which to compare, and I'm not trying to like, it's not me being tribalistic here. It's just a comparator. That's like those are good Dynamite numbers right now. Like Dynamite is having a good night and Collision's having a good night when they reach 3,000. So for TNA, which is a much smaller company, they have a much smaller reach and a much smaller budget for them to be able to do for their TV tapings over 3,000 per night and their El Paso tapings. That's pretty good for them. And they did similar numbers whenever they were in Dallas, Texas recently. So he was doing such a good job, they went ahead and let him go too. And Carlos Silva is the TNA president. He is the third president they've had in just over a year. They went from Scott D'Amore to Anthony Ciccone and to now Carlos Silva in December. And the reason why all these changes are being made for the people that I just mentioned that were like unknowns, like kind of more behind the scenes types that you've never really heard of before, it's because he's just bringing in his own people. He's bringing in people from like mainstream sports that he's worked with throughout his career to bring them in. And so they got high level experience, and we'll see if this turns out to be a good thing. I don't know if it is or not. So we'll see. But as far as Gail Kim and Ariel Scherner goes, Gail Kim specifically, she's gone because, and there's multiple reports that have cited this, right? BQ had cited this. Sean Ross Sapp had cited this. And I think a couple of other places is that she was having a lot of arguments with management, essentially. And I think that's basically what it boiled down to, is like a personality conflict with her and some of the new management team, specifically like the Carlos Silva team that just came in and took over. There was also this thing that BQ reported on that Gail and Ariel, who Ariel is like the guy in charge, they were like butting heads and not getting along. And BQ reported, and he was told this, and I can verify that he was told this 100%. He was told this, that they gave Anthem an ultimatum. Like they can't, like they're, it's either, you know, one of us has to go basically. So you got to basically pick. BQ was told that, he reported that on his channel. I didn't get to it here. I was just like, it's BQ's story. He reported on his channel and put that out there. It was got aggregated. Well, Gail Kim actually reached out to BQ yesterday. BQ is fresh out of surgery, high as a goddamn kite. And Gail Kim's up, blowing up his DM, not blowing up, but Gail Kim's in his DMs, and he was like thinking that he might still be sleeping because he's got like Gail Kim in his DMs and saying, hey, look, you know, I appreciate all your coverage of TNA over the years, but I just want to let you know that I never like gave anybody an ultimatum ever. Right. So she just flat out denied that she ever gave an ultimatum. So, and BQ, to his credit, put out another video, like a follow-up video, and said, yeah, hey, look, Gail actually reached out to me personally and wanted to let everybody know that she never gave anybody an ultimatum. I don't think Gail Kim's a liar. So I got no reason to think that she's, you know, not telling the truth. So the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. And I think, and JD, you could probably jump in on this. I think it's very possible. Great. You there?
You tell me.
You're kind of cutting in, so I'll keep rambling. So I think it's very possible that Gale and Ariel were not getting along. It had gotten to a point where that relationship had soured so much that Anthem felt like those two people were putting them in a position to have to pick between the two. And instead of doing that, they just fired them both. I think that could be a real possibility, or it could just be that, that, you know, whoever gave BQ the information, they were just flat out wrong. I think like maybe they, that was their interpretation of the situation. That could also be a thing. Either way, they're both gone. And it wasn't because they were on a winning streak, right? Like the behind the scenes people were on a winning streak. I think these guys, you know, Gale and Ariel, one would think that because of the arguments and the infighting and some of the drama that was happening between them kind of led to both of them getting out of there. I think that's a real possibility. We don't know we'll probably never know exactly what happened there. I'm sure Gale will probably get more of her side out. She already got some of her side out through BQ. I think she'll get more of her side out eventually. And we'll probably get somewhere close to the truth down the road. I don't think BQ was lied to. I think that was that person's interpretation of what was going on. I don't think Gail Kim is lying. I think the truth is just somewhere in the middle. It just depends on which side of the fence you're on, right? But I do know that looks like JD's going to be back in a little bit. What I do know is that BQ got legit sources, has done a great job covering TNA. What he does that I don't think anybody else does it quite as well as he does is he can kind of get the information from the company itself without all the corporate bullshit speak. A lot of people will get straight up quotes like that are meant for public consumption. The information that he gets is very unfiltered anti-corporate talking points, right? And then like it's through a conversation that he's having, and then he will then get permission to be able to run with it or not. And then he runs with it, and it's like 99% true. Everything about what he said regarding that situation, the only thing that's not been verified is whether or not an ultimatum was given. And Gail Kim flat out denies that, like strongly denies that. So I get the feeling that no specific ultimatum was given, but that the company felt that they were being put in a position to pick between the two, and they just shit-canned both of them. That is my read on the situation. Okay, JD, you're back. So I kind of went on a soliloquy there for a minute. Did you catch any of it, JD?
Most of it. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. It says I'm getting the low bar, and I don't know why. It's just I apologize. King of the North brought up a good point, and it's if things are all hunky-dory right now with TNA, like we got this super scrubs that are along. Why are we firing people?
Okay, BQ's gone again. Or not BQ, but JD's gone again. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get to the chat. So, sorry, guys. Let's get to the chat. And I know that King of the North... Okay, this is a good question. Why hire people who are successfully steering the ship based on business metrics, IO Productions? Hold on. Okay, yeah. Let's see. Oh, gosh. My mic is cutting in and out. All right, guys, let me know if my mic is good. Tell me if I'm good or not. All right. Here we go. Okay. So King of the North says, so if they're doing such successful houses and tapings, why fire everyone? I think that is the million-dollar question. Why fire everyone? Why fire Ariel? Since Ariel has taken over, the app business, their app, Impact or TNA Plus, has doubled, right? Like they have doubled. Ad sales up, house shows up. Everything is up, yet all these people are getting fired. That is the question. And I think it's just typical corporate stuff. And it's one of those things, like we have all these business metrics in front of us that are telling us that everything is going good. They hired this guy to be the TNA president because they weren't happy with Scott D'Amore. Anthony Ciccone came in, right, replaced Scott. And things were going up, but he was never really the guy that they wanted for that position. Remember, before Anthony Ciccione came in, and before Scott was named, or before Ciccione came in and took over for Scott, they had a guy in here named Richard Schaefer who has like legit high level mainstream boxing experience, right? And with Golden Boy Promotions, he's promoted boxing overseas. He's John Jones's manager. So they brought him in to be the head of Anthem Sports. They wanted Richard Schaefer to take this thing from where it was at to like way up here, not just TNA, but TNA, Invicta. They wanted to bring in a boxing promotion. They were looking for Anthem Sports to get launched, right? To become more mainstream, getting TV deals, getting this whole thing. Well, he didn't last very long. He didn't nothing really happened under him. And now he's back. I think he's back with Floyd Mayweather now. And I think he's still working with John Jones. He's kind of like not promoting or anything at this point. So we had that. Scott D'Amore was the TNA president. They felt like he could get the ball to a certain point. But if they're ever going to, go further, they needed to go ahead and get rid of him, right? So they get rid of him. They bring in Ciccione, who they just elevated from the Fight Network, right? And so him and Ariel seemed like they were a good team. They've been working for the Fight Network forever. But I don't think that Ciccione was ever the guy that they wanted for that position. They were looking to bring in somebody from the outside that has high-level mainstream sports experience. So they bring in this guy, Carlos Silva, back in December. I looked at his resume. This is not like an NFL exec. It's not like – I think he's got some Major League Soccer experience, Professional Fighters League, and some other stuff like that, but nothing really like – he is very much like comparing him to Richard Schaefer. Richard Schaefer is like, wait, like levels above. Right. So, but they brought him in and this is their guy. This is the guy that they're going with. And he's bringing in his own team. As far as like the production hires that he's bringing in, like I explained here a couple weeks ago, I think that based on the resumes that they have, based on the resumes that they have, like these are all high level people. The guy that is replacing, I think it's a woman actually. The woman that's replacing Michael Shevchenko, no, David something, is replacing the digital guy. He's got high level experience, right? The ad team that they're bringing in, all high level experience with mainstream sports. So that's kind of what they're doing. That's who all they're going with. But to get to the point and like to address the elephant in the room, like the thumbnail, total nonstop chaos. That has been the theme since TNA moved away from Impact Wrestling to TNA. It's been straight up chaos. They fired Scott D'Amore, right? They lose the Motor City Machine Guns. And then all of a sudden, business just like booms, right? They make the deal with WWE. Joe Hendry gets hot. The Hardy Boys all of a sudden are available. They get hot again. And next thing you know, every metric that you can find on this company has just like skyrocketed, right? Like no other wrestling promotion in the last year has like tripled their business other than TNA. Legit. I mean, it's still small level, but like no other company has like grown as much as TNA. Like they're the fastest growing company out there, you know? And you can say, well, 10 years ago they were way up here. Well, yeah, but that was 10 years ago. Like they came from the depths of hell to now where they're at right now. So it's quite interesting to see where they're at. JD might come back in. So look, I'm gonna go ahead and address some of your comments. The comment section is blowing up. Hey guys, you're in the comment section, and I love you. God bless you. If you're watching this on Twitter, throw down a retweet. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the like button. I would greatly appreciate it. IO Production says for Dreamer and Talent Relations, it's different. You got to have someone who knows these wrestlers. Yeah, King of the North. Yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem with Tommy Dreamer being in Talent Relations. People don't want to hear this, but people like Tommy Dreamer. Like, everybody kind of likes that guy. So he's been around forever, and he seems like a guy that can work with everybody. The thing about that, Talent Relations, it's difficult for people to kind of wrap their head around, because I've had a similar job in the military the last couple of years. You have to know how to talk to these people up here, and you got to know how to talk to the people down here, and you can't talk to everybody the same, right? You have to adapt to everybody's personalities, and Talent Relations is essentially a thankless position, and you have to learn how to eat plates of shit, right? And then you have to learn how to get in people's asses, and you have to learn how to build people back up, and then you got to fight the battles that are worth fighting. and let a lot of the smaller shit go. And that is a really difficult, like, that is a difficult skill set for people to have. And when you're a high performing person, that is a pro wrestler, maybe being in talent relations is probably not for you. That's like saying Peyton Manning should be the head football coach. Like, what he's going to be asking of people is going to be unrealistic because he was so great at everything. And you're kind of constantly comparing people to what you're capable of doing. So it's a difficult thing. All right, Gerard says you have to get behind him 100% if you're hiring Carlos. So he's got to be able to make the changes he wants. All right, let's see. Let's see. Says I agree about wrestlers knowing wrestlers. Dreamer is, I don't know what that means. Sorry. Okay, King. The changes don't make sense based off the PR and metrics being pushed, Gerard. Yeah, so Here we go. JD is back.
Maybe. We'll see. So I'm on my phone right now because I got this bullshit rural internet. So I'll try not to bitch about my stuff. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. You look great. Everything is good. You're back. I agree, King. The changes don't make sense. And I'm trying to wrap my head around why so many people got fired at once if everything is going great. And that doesn't make sense to me.
It's complete and total horseshit. I don't buy it for a minute because that's not what you do. You don't fire people when things are going great. They were spending a lot when they weren't doing great. And now they are doing great, selling houses. Now all of a sudden it's, fall in line behind Dear Leader. Like, I know that I know there's people that are just, you know, to be in this chat and to be like, maybe TNA isn't doing it right, gets you like tomatoes thrown at you sometimes. But there's something seriously suspect about this, right? Like, I don't buy it for a minute. I don't buy that. Well, we just got to get everybody on the new president's side. That's bullshit. Nobody comes in and cleans house when you don't have to. Yeah. And you don't do it now. You do it when you first get there. I mean, like, it doesn't, and changing presidents every 3 weeks isn't good either. So I'm like, I'm highly suspect on what's going on. Maybe this company was in much worse financial shape than we thought it was, to the point where we have to do all this massive house cleaning right now. Like, I don't buy it for a minute.
Yeah. I can't buy that they're in this financial dire straits because the people they're bringing in seem to be a bit more expensive. Like, because they got higher level experience than the people that they just fired.
Who are they bringing in? I mean, like, Joe Lanza brought up a good point in the flagship this week that they made a big deal about re-signing Jason Hutch. And it's like,
I'm talking about the backstage people. The backstage people that they just hired in, like, production, ads, marketing. These are, like, high level mainstream sports people. The guy that they just hired to take over their digital is like a guy that's got like NFL type level experience. So I'm talking about those people. Mm-hmm. The wrestlers, they did seem like they cut some of their talent budget. They've brought some people in. They've let a bunch of people go. I think all that stuff's going to iron out. But I'm talking about the backstage people that they hired and that they've replaced all these people with. Like, they replaced Josh Matthews with a guy that's coming in from like CBS and shit. You know what I mean? Like, they were doing like that did the CBS Sunday morning NFL show for years and was working for the NFL Network and the NFL Hall of Fame. So, like, those people they're bringing in are like high level people. So that's what tells me, like, they're actually spending more money. Like, the venues that they're running, like UBS Arena, is far more expensive than the venue that they used to run in New York, which was the Melrose Ballroom in Queens, right? So, like, they're spending more on the venues, they're spending more on that stuff. Now they're spending more on the backstage. I wish they would spend more on the fucking talent that I have to watch every week because they just lost a lot of people.
But that doesn't make sense. I mean, this is where it gets where, like, this tells me, like, believe me, nobody has been a bigger advocate of them upgrading production for years. We used to bitch on this show when they were hiring kids who didn't know how to white balance the cameras.
Yeah.
Right. But they had really good wrestlers in the ring. Now you're going to have these people who I assume are on the back end of things. So no one's leaving CBS straight to go to work for TNA, right? To go to work for Anthem. I don't buy that. You're on the downside. Right, you're getting people who have good experience, but you're not getting them at their prime, which is fine. That's how these things work. But who are you going to watch? Like, why are you going to have this crystal clear product on the hopes that you get people that aren't ready for primetime and NXT anymore? Because that's what you got. Because you're releasing veteran talent.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
I think this week's episode had 3 people from NXT out of, like, you know, what, maybe 20 that were on the show. So they are using they're using NXT. Honestly, I think there's too much NXT people on this show, specifically in the women's division. So I completely get that. But the ones that people tend to focus on the most are the NXT people. Those are the ones that get the most retweets. But the focal point of the show is obviously Joe Hendry. It's the Hardys. It's Mike Santana. It's Moose. It's those cats. The NXT people, they come in, they do a match, and then they're gone again, right? So, so I NXT is not like a major focal point of the company as far as like when you're watching the show, but it seems to be the people that don't watch the show, that's the part that they focus on, if that makes sense.
Because that's what's WWE, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what's grabbing everybody else's attention.
Well, I get it, because this is a big thing for the company, right? It's part of what's making it click right now, so to say.
Oh, 100%.
I still don't understand, though, why. Like, you need people on the, you need talent, right? And the problem, and like, unless you're just going to throw a bunch of WWE ID people on there, or like more GCW folks, like, it doesn't, and you've already got a bunch anyway. Like, it doesn't make sense to me to be releasing good talent and then finally hiring all these good production people. Like, are you just so certain that you're going to stay relatively hot to what TNA is that it's going to be worth? Like, I want a good production, but it's just I don't get purging. I don't get purging when you're trying to when things are at their peak. It doesn't make business wise. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't to me. Like, I really wish they would have fought for Josh Alexander. Like, I get why they let I love Speedball Bailey, but I get why they let him go. Right.
Yeah, I agree too. I agree.
Like, you know, like he is a guy, he's never been on like any of the top companies. He is not identified with TNA because he was working like everywhere. And the like when we realized like a year ago that his contract was gonna be up, we're like, yeah, he's gonna go to AEW for sure. Josh Alexander is the guy, like he was like when you thought of Impact Wrestling and you thought of TNA, like Josh was one of those guys that like that's one of the first names that pops up. Not Speedball, but it was like Josh and the Motor City Machine Guns and those cats. So, yeah, I wish they would have fought for them. Like, okay, losing Kushida and Trent Seven, I'm just like, who cares? It's like nice people, I'm sure. But I didn't really care that those guys were gone. I didn't really care that Rhino was gone. I didn't care that PCO was gone. So, like, a lot of these – like, Josh is really – and Jordan Grace were, like, the two people that I thought, like, those were, like, the significant losses. Jordan Grace, you weren't going to be able to compete with WWE's money on that one. So it's like no matter what they're doing, they still don't have a TV deal that pays them a significant amount of money. So they're not going to be able to compete with all those people. So what I don't get is they recently just cut Alexander Hammerstone. And I'm like, what the fuck?
That I don't get. Like, what? This is what I'm talking about. It's you got a guy with a TV look like Hammerstone, right? Who's good, who cuts a decent enough promo. Like, he's not an amazing promo, but he's fine, more than serviceable.
Right.
Like, that's a guy that should be with this company for a long, long time to come, right?
Yeah. So the problem with Hammerstone is he was missing dates. You know what I mean? And so, like, last year there was one of the docs thought that he had a heart issue, which turned out he didn't have a heart issue, but he had to miss dates for that. And then in November he hurt his knee and they had to miss some more dates. So it seemed like every time they were going to get behind the guy, he was missing dates. Like, there was a rumor that him and Jake something were going to win the tag titles. And then next thing you know, he hurts his knee. He has to be gone. And then by the time he gets back, Jake something blows out his bicep. So he has to have surgery. So now he's gone. So they came back and it was like a year later. I think it was probably an option type situation. They said, just go ahead and go. We've been doing like, here's the thing for a guy like Hammerstone, who I think they should keep. Like, he's missed all these dates. And the house is only ever went up. So it's like, was he vital to the company? Well, not really, but I would push back and say, you just lost all these other people. Like, he is a guy that could ascend to the top of the ranks now that all these other people are gone, but yet you let him go too. So I don't really get that.
Well, and then here's the thing too, though, is why do people miss dates? Like, why does that happen in wrestling traditionally? It's because you're not getting paid enough, right? And again, in this case, he had some injury issues, but my only thing is, like, we'll pay people more. Right. And that's the thing with TNA is, like, they're not, it's not like for most people, like, sure, the Hardys are getting paid quite well, you know, and I'm sure, you know, Joe Hendry's got a good deal right now that he's champ, But I mean, like, if we're spending this money on having, you know, top line production, finally, we should be paying people to be making this a priority, which is something this company has had a hard time with for well over a decade, if not since its inception, right? Is making this a really a place where you can call your home base. Yeah. Right, like you said, well, Speedball was all over the place. He wasn't just a TNA guy. Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that. You know?
Well, the thing about TNA is, like, you know, can they really be expected to pay people full-time money when they're working 3 or 4 dates a month, right? And so I think they pay people, like, essentially on a per-date deal. Some people are getting full-time money, like I assume the Hardys are, but the Hardys are still taking indies. Moose doesn't hardly work anywhere. So I get the feeling he's pretty well taken care of, right? He's probably one of the higher paid guys there. But
don't you want to have it in your – shouldn't you be structuring deals where they have right of first refusal?
They do.
But if you're paying them enough, like, it shouldn't be an issue. You know what I'm saying?
The only guy that – when I'm talking about Hammerstone, he missed dates because he was hurt. Right?
He hurt. It seems ridiculous that you're holding injuries against them when they're getting hurt. Like, especially if they're getting hurt in your rings, right? Which I don't know for sure if Hammerstone is.
Right. Well, they probably felt like, you know, we're going to keep this guy on. We're paying him. You know, he's gotten himself hurt, like, doing whatever he's doing. And should we keep the guy on the roster, or should we just cut our losses right now? And they ended up cutting. Like, I disagree with it, by the way.
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows, I'm a Hammerstone guy. I'm just trying to rationalize the thinking. Like, you just lost Josh Alexander, and now you got this guy. So they must think, like, hey, look, you know, it's that sunk cost fallacy. Well, we've already paid this guy this much for a year. I get the feeling that, you know, Hammerstone probably had some competitive offers, and they beat it because TNA had just gotten relaunched, and they're trying to, like, go out there because, you know, and compete for talent. And so they brought him in, and so they're probably paying him a pretty decent amount of money. And they're not able to push him the way they wanted to because he just hasn't been as available as they would like him to be. So I think they should have just, you know, worked with him. Let's see. Terrence Sullivan says Nemeth misses more dates than anyone, but they ain't letting him go. And he is expensive. Yeah, I mean, look, Nemeth is making decent coin. But here's the thing about Nemeth. The dates that he misses are scheduled dates, right? Like, he's in Australia this weekend. The company's known about that for months. And so what they do is they film footage ahead of time, right? It's the people that are missing, and, like, they don't know, like, they don't find out until, like, it's almost too late. You know what I mean? Like, so that's been the issue. So you're way more of a Ring of Honor guy than me. And King of the North, if you're in the chat, and anybody else that watched Ring of Honor during the heyday, I want you guys to chime in because I feel ignorant about this. So Ariel Schirner was the head booker of TNA, right? He has now been replaced by Hunter Johnston, Delirious, who was the head booker of Ring of Honor for years. What do you think about Delirious? What are his, like, some of the better things that he's booked, and what are some, like, the crappier things he's booked?
I'm not a huge Delirious fan. Delirious booked the Prime Ring of Honor, because Prime Ring of Honor was, like, Gabe and even Jim Cornette and those guys. Like, that's, like, late 2000s Ring of Honor. Hunter Johnston was the booker when Ring of Honor started its modern indie ascension, right? About a decade ago, right? When Ring of Honor started getting kind of cool. Of course, there's the train, because I live in the sticks. So, like, we're talking about the rise of the Bullet Club era, and I don't think I'm out of line when I say this, but Hunter Johnson's stuff with Ring of Honor looks good because of Gato, right?
Yeah.
It was the New Japan deal that really allowed Ring of Honor to flourish, because it was the stateside home of the Young Bucks, specifically, who were Ring of Honor's top act a decade ago, right? And the Briscoes, to a lesser extent, like Jay Briscoe, Jay Lethal, that was pretty much your world title scene. Kevin Steen, a little, you know, too, the latter half of it. Like, but it was really the Bucks. The Bucks were the draw. Cody Rhodes comes in. You have the Bullet Club. It was the home of Bullet Club. Now, that being said, there aren't a whole lot of great angles, right? The Ring of Honor TV in that era was just a collection of matches, right? You would get angles on occasion, right? It wasn't like, I don't want to say it was poorly booked, but it wasn't very imaginatively booked either. what Ring of Honor, it's funny because it was owned by a TV station, but it was owned by a TV station that put it in a whenever time slot, right? And their modus operandi was still house shows, right? House shows and DVD sales. So the TV, which would be months out of date by the time you got to see it, as compared to what was actually going on in the company, it was just a different beast. And TV, Ring of Honor TV, could be inconsequential at times. Right, I remember one time Gallows and Anderson were in the main event, and they had just debuted in WWE like a month earlier. Right, like this is in 2016. But again, this is the era when AJ Styles is in all the time, where they're really, you know, you're bringing in the Global Wars, where you're really bringing in all these New Japan guys. This is the only place you could see Kazuchika Okada or Shinsuke Nakamura. So it's a good, like, Ring of Honor was making good money. He's the, like, Hunter Johnson's the booker for Ring of Honor when they booked the Madison Square Garden show. So all that makes him look like he's a great booker, but in reality, find me anything that wasn't Bullet Club adjacent that was great. You know, I don't think you can.
Yeah, so I think, and to your point, I think if you're TNA, it's like, well, we have Joe Hendry and we have the Hardys who are drawing the houses, and we have this affiliation with WWE that's subsidizing the rest of our cards. And that's really putting us over the edge. Let's go ahead and hire Delirious because he has experience with like three guys that can actually draw, and then using another company to come help fill out the houses.
When you put it like that, it kind of makes sense because like you could actually look at that. It makes complete and total sense because it's not going to make for great TV, but if you've got other writers and stuff like that around him, maybe he's a guy that can keep things together. Because it wasn't like that was Ring of Honor was bad. Ring of Honor didn't get bad to watch until AEW opened up and they kind of strip mined the company.
Yeah. So right. I think Delirious has probably been running most of creative for like the last year anyway, because this guy Ariel, I don't know that he knows how to book wrestling. I think he was like the final say on everything, but I really think that he's been in charge anyway. And now, like, Delirious is the final say. I'm sure that the president, Carlos Silva, has something, but he doesn't know anything about wrestling either. Like, he's never worked in a wrestling promotion. So I think he's just going to let Delirious kind of run the show, and he has experience to do so. The thing about Impact is it's never really all that bad. A lot of times it's, like, very paint-by-numbers, bland stuff. I think the premium events, the pay-per-views, and the TNA Plus specials are usually always, like, pretty good. They don't do what AEW does. They don't do what WWE does. They kind of do their own thing. And because of that, I think they're like unique and they're in their own world. And they're usually like pretty fun, but you're not going to get, you know, Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher though. They just ain't got the horses. So they make do with what they got. And I think what they do a pretty good job. And so I think like Delirious is like, okay, I wish, and I think Ewan was in the chat, said, wrestling bookers across the board are out of fresh ideas and need a new visionary mind from left field. I agree with that. I've been like saying that we need creative to be more creative again, right? Like we need early 2000s, like before things got too crazy, like Jeff Jarrett with all these like Ultimate X and all these like cool ideas that he had. Like we need, you know, like Tony Khan in 2019, right? Like just a bunch of fresh ideas, just bang, bang, bang. I think that would be cool, but like you don't get those every so often. It's because those guys aren't falling off of trees. You know what I mean? So I think that gets to be difficult.
There's a massive barrier of entry into wrestling that it's different. I want to say it didn't exist 40 years ago because it did. Like back in the day, you only got into wrestling if you were in wrestling, right? Or if your family was in wrestling. Like you only got to book if you were mainly a wrestler that showed some impulsive creative. And it wasn't even creatively. It was how to sell. It was like, could you, like, booking, we think of booking as more of a creative thing, when in booking is literally your matchmaking, you're trying to make, put together a show for a specific town that will draw money. And if you could be creative with it, well, that's really good. Like, where are these people coming from, right? And I don't think Ewan's wrong. I think we do need fresh creative voices. And the problem is so many of those get filtered through the WWE system, and so many of them have been raised on WWE programming that you have the ticks of WWE, of specifically 2000s WWE in everything, even Tony Khan stuff, which again, it's looking better lately. I just finished watching this week's Dynamite.
AEW's on a fucking roll.
Yeah, creatively, it's actually pretty good right now. I know the cool thing is to shit on it, and I was that guy for a long time, but I think the program is actually pretty good and pretty well booked. Like, dude, they my favorite thing on Dynamite this week was they told us Katsuyori Shibata was running a camera, so it motivated a camera backstage. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you for motivating a roaming camera on the backstage. Stuff like that is all right. But I've said this for months. I would love to see someone blow up the face of what a wrestling program is and like do something different. Because remember, the format of what we think of as a pro wrestling show today was really kind of, I hate to say this, it makes me want to spit, is really kind of honed by Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
Right. Like a lot of what we do, it's true. Like a lot of what TV is now with wrestling was forged by Nitro, and Monday Night Raw had some of those aspects to it, but Monday Night Raw, the original Monday Night Raw, the 93 to 96 Monday Night Raw before it just became Raw, was really more akin to like studio wrestling. It was really WWF's version of what a studio wrestling show is. And then Eric Bischoff brought a new dimension of making Nitro, like, you know, the hub of the program, and like this is where all everything revolves around this. And it's been like everything exists in the arena, da 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 da. And there's just been nothing unique to wrestling in a long time. Lucha Underground tried some cool things, but I just don't know how much that stuff is applicable to a sports-based presentation. I don't know how you make it different. Although I would just like to see something different.
Yeah. I think we had Lucha Underground, and then of course we had the Hardy Compound stuff, which was like super like way out of
it was different.
It was different and it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is why it worked best in TNA, is because TNA was the company, especially 10 years ago, that could take some super creative risks and be different. Like, I don't know if it was the first cinematic match that we call it cinematic matches now. But Matt Hardy really pioneered it in his own way and kind of made it his own thing to the point where everybody's done it now. And I don't think anybody's done it quite as well. I'd be able to tell you, the Boneyard match was brilliant. No, it wasn't. It was fucking awful.
Hey. I enjoyed the Boneyard match.
It's terrible. It's not as good as the Final Deletion.
No, it's not. I liked the Boneyard match. I did not like John Cena Bray Wyatt. I thought that one was not good.
That was awful. Yeah. And like WWE tried to do their own versions of that, of the Final Deletion with the Wyatts and stuff like that. It was terrible.
Yeah, that was crap because they did it with the Wyatts and the Hardys, and then they tried it with Wyatts and
the New Day.
Yeah,
it was awful. It was never good. Like, so what they were able to do that, again, say what you will about it, Matt Hardy and TNA were able to pioneer something, right? In an era where TNA really needed something, or Impact at the time really needed something. Ewan says, Piper versus Goldust WrestleMania was kind of cinematic. Yeah, so was Dustin Rhodes versus the Blacktop Bully in the back of the truck. I mean, like, stuff like that has been tried, but it was different.
Yeah, the first cinematic match that comes to my mind, even though it wasn't filmed like cinematic, was Piper and Lawler. Like, not Piper and Lawler. Terry Funk and Jerry Lawler, I Quit match. Like, empty arena. But it wasn't like cinematic style with all the music in the background and the campiness. Like, it didn't have that. Yeah. So
no, and that's what made that match kind of special. And again,
yeah,
for what it was genius at the time. Like, I think that like a found footage movie. The first time Blair Witch Project came out, like, that was unique. It was cool. It blew people's minds, right? And now it's a genre unto itself, and it's played out as fuck. And I think that especially during the pandemic, the cinematic match really took that abuse, but at least it was something different. I don't know what that is, but I would love to see somebody do wrestling differently than what we've seen for the last.
Yeah. We'll put a bow on this TNA stuff. I do want to say, check out Brace for Impact on the Patreon, patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. It's already out. Some of my commentary has been a little bit outdated, so I'm going to have to update some of it before I release some YouTube videos, because I had some of the information I had on Thursday night, it had evolved by Saturday, so we'll have some new information on there. So go and check that out. I actually reviewed it on Thursday night. I watched TNA Thursday night. I reviewed it Thursday night. It's already out. I'm going to try to get the video clipped for the YouTube in the coming days. So just be on the lookout for that if you can't do the $5 a month. But we greatly appreciate you guys supporting the show. We always have a bunch of content coming out there, and that's where like a lot. Like, if you guys are just into the TNA stuff, I will say that, you know, BQ probably has like the best TNA specific like channel. Like, his is only TNA, but I don't think anybody covers TNA as in depth as I do with the nuance that I cover it in, because I don't cover it from a, like, although I do like the company, I don't cover it like a fanboy type thing. Like, I, I very much come at them whenever it's necessary. And so if you think you're going to come in and like, oh, Mike is just going to be kissing ass all the time, that doesn't happen on that show. So, and it's never happened on that show, even when JD was on the show. So that has not changed. So there's a lot to say. What I will say is that this past week's Impact had a little bit of Mid-South. It had a little bit of Lucha Underground without the spooky, no spooky, but it had some like backstage cinematic type stuff with some of the music that Lucha Underground was doing. Had a couple good wrestling matches. And so I thought it was a pretty well-rounded episode of TV this week, except for they had a super long segment with Frankie Kazarian, Elias, and Joe Hendry that started off like 5 minutes was good. And then, man, it got into like 12 minutes, 15 minutes. It was like, oh, it's too much.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.
Oh, that was way too much. Yeah.
I'm a big pass on that.
Yeah.
Mike, no one covers TNA as well as Mike Gilbert does, like, especially in the Voices of Wrestling crew. Like, Mike is getting renowned for his coverage with TNA. I highly recommend anyone listening to this who is not familiar with Brace for Impact, please listen to Brace for Impact. Mike knows his shit.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to the next topic. Hold on. Gerard putting himself over in the chat. And Gerard, a body slam for real. Gerard, all day, every day, like 24/7. His brother's got articles coming out on body slam. So there you go, Gerard. Let's get into some free agency talk, and then we'll go ahead and send it home. We went way longer on TNA than I thought we were going to. So
didn't help that I missed like half the show, but whatever.
Yeah, I had to just ramble for a while.
Sorry.
To chat, so it's all good. Soraya, formerly known as Paige, she has left AEW. She just resigned like in September, October. And we were kind of making fun of them for resigning her because we were like, you know, like, what are we doing? But they resigned her, and she has not been on the TV show since. Apparently she asked for her release, and Tony Khan was like, the Iron Sheik still works here? What the fuck? And kind of like let her out of her deal. And so now she is a free agent, man. But Soraya's out of the company.
I heard that I think Joe and Rich kind of disputed that she re-signed, that she was actually, her contract was going to be up in September. And somehow that got, I don't even know. So I remember
I think it was a 1 year option type of deal. Like they picked up her option.
Could have been Tony picked up the option, and then she just wanted to go. I think that our good buddy, I'm going to say John Muse, because John Muse told us this, when Vince had the story of maybe they have a lot of talent there, maybe we'll send them some more, and it wound up kind of spoiling the pool a little bit. I think that Tony's starting to do the same thing over there by just kind of feeding, you want out? Okay, fine. There's been a definite shift in the way he does business this year. And I think that, again, what are you going to do with Soraya? Like, they utilized her as much as possible. And use her for more than was necessary. Because, you know, 10 years ago, she was a big name, right? Like, she was one of the first NXT to WWE mainstream people that kind of got over, right? And then she just got hurt and really is never really the same. So good. I mean, like, yeah, open up a roster spot, open up some money. Like, I don't think she was helping them with anything anymore. She got to have her moment in Wembley, which I'm sure was cool. I don't think she's headed back to the Federation anytime soon. I don't know why they would sign her again. You know, I think she's probably done with wrestling. Would be my guess.
That would be my guess too. Unless they were like doing something in the UK and they're just like, it's like a special thing. Like, here's one of our legendary wrestlers. Cause I think that, you know, she was on the forefront of that women's wrestling boom that happened in WWE, like in 2014. Mm-hmm. Like, she really was, like, she was the initial catalyst. And then, of course, you had the Four Horsewomen. And then Ronda Rousey is what took them, like, to the main event, right? Like, it was Ronda that gave them the confidence to be able to main event, like, the women. And then Becky Lynch got fucking hot as shit. And then, you know, they've been a significant portion of the programming ever since then, right? So, but Paige was the catalyst. I think that they'll bring her back as, like, a Legends deal type thing, put her into the Hall of Fame. I think that she'll go in. They put a woman in every year. But I think as – she'll be more deserving than a lot of the women that we've seen go into that Hall of Fame, for sure. So, and then she, you know, look, she broke her neck on their dime, right? And so I think that keeping her around as a legend would be a good thing. You know, I think we got fucking troll ass Canadian in the chat saying she's TNA bound. Okay. You know what? Like, I think TNA would love to have her, to be honest with you, but because she's got Fed cred and she's got Dub cred, and those are the two things I like the most in wrestlers, right? Like, if you've been on WWE TV or if you've been on AEW TV, she's got both. So I think they would love to have her. I just don't know that she can go, right? So if she could go and she wasn't really looking for a ton of money, I think that they would love to bring her in. But I just don't think it'll happen.
I don't think it's a fit.
Yeah, but you know, it was that run I thought was kind of weak, and like, this was her coming in, I think, was kind of like the bloom is off the rose in AEW with all their free agent signings, because I think it was like exciting whenever they were bringing in WWE talent. Like, it was exciting when Adam Cole came in, it was exciting when Bryan Danielson came in, and it was exciting for Mike and JD when Swerve came in, because we were big fans. But then you just started getting like fucking everybody. It's like dude, we got Johnny TV. We got, like, you know, like Taya Valkyrie, and we got all these other people. It was like, man, you guys are just bringing in anybody that was on that show because they got friends.
And that was Vince's thing. That's what he talked about. He Vince knew, because he had been in the game long enough, that if he they would not the same with WCW. If they were gonna have to pick up everybody that came their way. It was the same as like when they brought in Over the Hill British Bulldog and the ghost of Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yeah, and they had fucking they brought in like Crush and called him Brian Adams, and they had, you know, VK Wall Street, and it's like like they were just signing anybody that was part of the big company, and it made them look low rent. AEW was going through that, but take a look at 2025. They shed themselves of Malakai Black. Andrade leaves a year ago, right? Mm-hmm. They just got rid of Paige and look, or Saraya, and now look who they're hiring: Speedball. Mm-hmm. Josh Alexander rumored to come in, and just this week they announced Kevin Knight. Yeah, I think that's a big signing for them.
I like Kevin Knight. So I know there's not a lot of space there, but they're clearing out. You need more guys like Kevin Knight. Kevin Knight came up in the New Japan Dojo, Shibata trained, right? So makes sense, right? That you can see where that happened. And Kevin Knight's really good. He's good. Like, I thought he'd be, honestly, I thought he'd be fed down. I thought that NXT would have picked him up.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, Shibata's his coach. Shibata's there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I think Tony outbid WWE for them. I think they, like, when they looked at Kevin Knight, it's like, hey, you're really good, but you're not a star, right?
Yeah.
And we want you to be in an entry-level position in NXT, and we're going to pay you entry-level NXT money, which is not a lot, right? Like, you have to work your way up there. And I think Tony Khan was like, you know, I see that you have star potential. I think you can be a star sooner if you come with us, and I'll probably pay you a little bit more money to show you that.
So I think the interesting comparison is this is a legit question because I don't watch NXT. How is Eddie Thorpe doing?
Eddie Thorpe just co-headlined one of the big shows against Trick Williams, actually, and beat him.
So that's good,
he's working his way up, but he struggled for a while to fit in.
For a while. And yeah. This was a dude that I'm blanking on what his real name is. Like, I was a Carl fan Fredericks. Of his. Thank you. Carl Fredericks was supposed to be the top Gaijin, right? That's what they had their eye in for this whole training group, right? This whole class. Carl Fredericks was going to be the Gaijin. Like, he had the look, he could work. They're like, okay. And then it went south. Like, Gato can be really slow to push young guys, right? Yeah. And Carl Fredericks kind of got sick of it and jumped to NXT, and he's been there for like 2 years now. So, I mean, he's had to like start all over again. So I think they kind of probably, you're right. I think they probably offered Kevin Knight the Carl Fredericks deal. Yeah. Whereas Tony said, they gave him the graphic. You get the graphic on day one. They're telling people, hey, we believe in this guy. So I think you're right. They probably outbid him. They're probably putting a little bit more belief in him. Where it goes from here, I don't know. Tony's not great at follow through, but let's see if they actually have an idea. Like, at least, hey, they brought Speed. Look at this way. I didn't think they were going to do much with Speedball. They brought him in and immediately programmed him with Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong.
Well, I mean, let's see where he's at 6 months from now. But I like what they're doing right away. Which, international title, that's Speedball's level. That's X Division title. That's Speedball's level. That's where he's at.
It's on Kenny. But the fact that the belt is on Kenny Omega elevates it significantly.
Yes, 100%. Right? Yeah.
Like, so, and the fact that he's in there and he's worked, Ricochet has been reborn and is more vital in pro wrestling now than he's been since probably any point, right?
Yeah.
Like, this version, the more demented Andrew Tate version of Ricochet, which I'll always think of him as, this is the most interesting version of Ricochet, right? So you've got him, I don't like three ways, but the fact that you've got him, these guys programmed in together, I think is at least interesting. We've never seen anything quite like this before with these three. So they're showing some faith in Speedball. Makes me think that they'll have something in mind for Josh Alexander.
Yeah.
But let's see what they got with Kevin Knight. Kevin Knight's a prodigy, man. I think he could really do some damage.
Yeah. So everybody that's watching or listening to this, I want you to go back like almost two years ago. You can look it up on YouTube, Kevin Knight versus Moose. And that was when I knew that Kevin Knight could actually work main event style. Because he worked with Moose, and that match was fucking incredible, dude. Like, and people don't want to give credit to Moose for being a good worker. Moose is a really good worker. And he made Kevin Knight look like made him look like Ricky Steamboat. You know what I mean? Like, just this great underneath babyface working his way up. They just had a tremendous match. And then they ended up letting Kevin do some of his high flying moves. Moose kept cutting him off and beating him down. He had a really good comeback spot. It was just a tremendous match.
Here's what's interesting too about what AEW's got going on right now is the knock for years is like they don't push anybody from underneath and they don't try to build anybody. Look at Kanosuke Takeshita. No, I want you to look at Kyle Fletcher specifically. Yeah. These are young guys that were not main event. I mean, like, Takeshita was, I don't know if he was ever like a guy in Noah. Maybe someone, or not Noah, excuse me, DDT, maybe someone can correct me. I think he was just like a guy. I don't think he was like close to the guy in DDT. Correct me, King, if I'm wrong. Kyle Fletcher was just a tag team guy in New Japan.
Yeah.
Right? Both of them are finding new levels of success. I know they really want to get behind Hobbs, but Hobbs kind of always gets hurt or something always kind of short circuits him. But they seem to be getting behind Hobbs again. I wish they get behind Brody King. Like, they're really starting to do stuff more with the next generation of guys. And I think that Kevin Knight can be a big part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Myron Kidd has a question here. So do you all think AEW is poaching New Japan talent? Yeah, I think that's interesting because the perception is that WWE is poaching TNA and they're abusing their little partner in TNA and this and that.
They've signed
one star, and that was Jordynne Grace. And
Who was going there anyway?
Yeah, she was going there anyway. So I'm saying, but that perception's out there, and that perception exists in AEW fandom and AEW like circles, right? Because it's part of the tribalistic argument. WWE is abusing TNA when TNA is having the best business they've had in a decade because of the relationship with TNA. Because of the relationship with WWE. So WWE is not poaching TNA's talent, right? At least there's no evidence of that yet. However, AEW, since that partnership has happened between the two companies, Will Ospreay, Okada, Jay White, you got Kevin Knight, you got Aussie Open, you got, and now Mina Shirakawa's coming in, and that, I know that's Stardom. I don't think AEW is poaching New Japan either. I think the New Japan just doesn't have the money to sign those people, and AEW does, right? So that's not a raid. It's not a poach. It's just business. So I don't think WWE is poaching TNA, and I don't think AEW is poaching New Japan.
Like, and here's, I don't think they're poaching. Like, I think WWE poached New Japan talent. Because let us not forget the raid of 2016, where they signed four major players the night before Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah,
like that is poaching, right? AEW is work. They're working with TNA, and quite frankly, they're paying them more. Remember when they signed Aussie Open, they immediately signed Aussie Open after Mark Davis got hurt, right? And Tony paid for Mark Davis's surgery. Like in reality, they just don't. They don't pay great, right? Especially right now with where the business is in Japan. Right. That's just, it's just down. Right. Business across everywhere, not WWE, is down. Like, I don't like this idea of like, you're not supposed, as a talent, you're not supposed to make money. Like, it's just stupid to me. Like, find me another business where people are like, oh my God, you want to make a living? Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Like, it's just, it's so bizarre to me.
I think after what happened in TNA this week and what's happened in WWE and even sometimes in AEW, never be super loyal to your employer. Always do a good job. Always work hard. But when it's time that contract is up, you need to go get yours, right? And I think in Japan, in that culture, it is a very loyal culture to where, like, they do, people do switch sides, right? But it's like a big deal when it happens because it's pretty rare. Like when Kenta left to WWE, that was a big deal. And then when he came back and he didn't sign Manoa and he went to New Japan, that also was a big deal. And now that he's back in Noah, again, it's a big deal because those things just don't happen as frequently as it does in America. But in American culture, it's a capitalistic society, and you don't have to have loyalty to your bosses. You always work hard for your money because you want to be able to continue working. But when your time is up and it's time to go get what's coming to you. Go get paid.
I think it also comes through with the history of the business. Is wrestling is in the United States specifically has always been a bit of a vagabond business. Where you do your time, like let's go, like you look through like the 20s until the 2000s, really. Like you did your time in a specific place and then you moved on because it was better for you and it was better for the business. Like new talent coming in is what makes wrestling interesting. WWE's running promos or vignettes for Rey Fénix now. Yeah. Right? Rey Fénix, that's good for them. It's a new luchador. It's somebody that people can get excited about, that you know, who you know of. Like, dude, when I was a kid, nothing made me happier than when some dude showed up that I recognized from the wrestling magazines. Right? Dude, I love that stuff.
I just remember, like, you know, when Lex Luger showed up on Nitro, like that was like one of the coolest moments. And like when you know, Jeff Jarrett went back and forth a couple of times, and I know the you know, Rick Rude being on WCW Nitro and Raw on the same night, like free agency is like fun in pro wrestling. It is fun in football. It's fun in baseball. Like one of my favorite months of baseball is actually December when the hot stove starts and you start seeing all these free agents signing in different places and you start getting excited for the new team. We're experiencing right now in NFL, like it's free agency month. Actually, this month has been shitty for the 49ers. They've lost so many players. It has been incredible, but I think that's exciting. I think that's a good thing. It keeps the business interesting.
I don't see what's wrong. Like, I don't hate Penta because he signed with WWE. I think it's good for him. He'd been with AEW for a long time, and this is an opportunity he probably never would have gotten without getting that AEW exposure.
Yeah.
Right? Cody, what is Cody to WWE if he doesn't help AEW get off the ground? And Don't tell me he comes into WWE in 2020 or 2019 as big as he did in 2022.
No, like, he's bigger than Stardust because I think he had like kind of like made everybody believe that he could be a top guy with what he was doing in Ring of Honor and what he was doing in Japan and what he did for and I'll say NWA, his matches with Aldis were very good. And they actually did a little bit of business, not crazy business, but they did some business. You know, All in. Right? And then, of course, the cage match that they had.
All in,
and then, of course, the cage match, right? So they, him and Aldis did some good stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he comes in as a world champion, like, and they're building the entire company around him. If he doesn't go to AEW, like, that doesn't happen.
Correct. Like, remember when Jon Moxley shows up at the first Double or Nothing? Like, I know people are down on him now, but when that dude made the cameras shake, the cameras were shaking in the building because people were so excited. Like, I don't like tribalism in wrestling because it's boring. Like, again, I'm a AEW fan, but I'm also a fan of guys getting paid a lot of money and getting refreshed. Because again, I was a kid, I used to love that. I used to love when guys would show up. When the Steiners showed up in WWF, I was like, oh my God, it's the Steiner brothers. I can't believe they're here. Like, that's part of the fun of wrestling, is when people go someplace they don't quote unquote belong. Right. And again, we can finish up with something else kind of like that. Like, I think this is what makes wrestling cool, is like the potential of people showing up. So I think that if you're a Shin Nihon guy who pretends to be loyal to them, no company is loyal to you. Like, no company is ever going to be loyal to you as a consumer. They're going to do what's best for them. So don't be loyal to one specific company because you feel like you owe them. That's stupid. If the White Sox are bad this year, which they probably will be, I'm going to stop paying attention. Yeah. Right? Because life is too short to watch bad sports or be miserable.
Yeah. So Jeff Jarrett a couple weeks ago said that tribalism is good in pro wrestling. To where it's like you got your hardcore fans. And I think it's important to have those hardcore fans, and you got to service those fans. But I think part of that is like signing the right free agents. And I think where AEW went wrong is they signed the wrong free
agents. All the free agents.
Yeah. They were signing. Did you see that Von Wagner was on Ring of Honor this week, by the way?
Oh God.
Cal Bloom.
They'll bring in anybody. They'll kick the tires on anybody. EJ Nduka's been in like a developmental thing with them for like 5 years or something like that. Like, if they're in Ring of Honor, I don't have to see them. It's perfectly fine. Like, I think that's fine. I think that's what Ring of Honor should do. Ring of Honor exists kind of like how Dark used to. Right? Yeah. Like, let's see if this guy's any decent. Nope. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hold on. Jonte Godilla Brown says Hobbs has dolphin teeth. Thank you for your contribution to the show, Godilla.
Kind of. I can see that.
Godzilla has a really funny joke about Moose that I just can't say on the air because I want to continue this podcast. So I'll tell you off the air. I was like, just so you know that Godzilla is a really bad person.
Oh, fully aware. I can't.
Yeah, you know, like every sanctimonious prick on Twitter and Blue Sky, like that is always calling people out for the mean shit that they say. You know, they have group chats with their boys they grew up with. That is like fucking uncensored. You say the most awful stuff like known to man. You know that they all have that, right? Like they all have it. Yeah. Just want everybody to know. And I have one of those too. And Godzilla's in it. But all right. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and close the show here. We got a little bit of time left. We got two more stories, but they kind of intertwine. So earlier this week, Fightful Selected reported that Mariah May's contract with AEW is coming up this summer. I don't think he gave a specific date, but, word is that she might be interested in heading to the Fed. Now, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that she's going there, but a lot of people think that it's a real possibility that she could head over to WWE. What do you think, man?
I am of the mind that she's of that age of kids that grew up with WWE was the only game in town. And she has a look that I think would fit in perfectly over there. And she'll probably wind up getting a pretty good deal. I do think our bosses, you know, Joe Lanza specifically was really on the take of like, she's probably out the door. I'm not as sold it, especially now they brought in Mina Shirakawa. Like, Mina Shirakawa is now coming here full time and they're really close in real life. So I think there's a little bit more incentive for her to stay.
They were like tag team partners and
they're tag team partners and Stardom.
Hold on. This guy, Cardi, says Ada signing the sixth Beth Cosmic Angel member. Isn't going to hurt Stardom. They'll be fine. I assume Mina's a Cosmic Angel and like Mariah May was one of them too.
Yeah, I don't care about Joshi. Whatever. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, like I said, none of this is meant to hurt. Movement in wrestling is good. We have to. New people don't get opportunities in Stardom unless the old people go away. Right? We have to understand it like that. Everyone wants people to be pushed. You can't push people until other people are out of the picture. Right?
Yeah.
Let's think about it like that. Stardom will be fine. Will be fine. You don't have to do that. It's good for Mina to move on. She's got a great look. She got over with her time here. Let her hang out here for a little while. It'll be good. Anyways, I do think there's more incentive to come. Rumor has it that she has an option year. Okay. And Tony typically picks up the options. And Mariah's like, what, 25? Something like that? 24? Like, yes. She's a kid. Like, yeah. And if it doesn't work out, she had a phenomenal run.
Yeah. She came in and immediately got pushed with Toni Storm, right? And I think we were kind of down on the way that she was brought into the company at first. Because I was like, you need to bring her in and like Pusher is like this, you know, world beater, but they brought her in and she was like stalking Tony. We're like, oh, this is lame. And then it turned out to be, it ended up being like one of the best storylines Scumpy's ever done.
We were wrong. Yeah. Like, we were wrong. Yeah. That was one of the most over storylines the company's ever done, especially in a dark era. Mariah May was one of the most over heels in the company.
Yeah.
Right. And Toni Storm is a much bigger star than she was when the whole thing started.
Yeah.
So, man, RJ City, brother, we shit on it a bunch. That dude got that to work. That was his baby of a storyline, and they made Toni Storm a legit star in this company, right?
I think Toni Storm is going to make so much money when her contract comes up. I think she stays in AEW, but I think if I were her, I would hire like the top agent. She's got to go get Barry Bloom. And see if Triple H can rise that money figure up, rise that offer up, because I think she is a multi-million dollar a year talent now.
She is. I think she's the biggest miss the company has ever had, especially with the way they booked her. Right? It was. Yeah. I'll leave it alone. I think they missed the boat on her, and she's proven herself, and she seems pretty happy in AEW. But yeah, they should. She's worth it. So you got to keep, she's 29.
Yeah.
Toni Storm is 29. Like, she got a long career ahead of her. Big star.
All right. Day Park 14 says, Mariah is using her past WWE fandom as a negotiating tactic for more money from AEW. If that is true, good for her. Get paid, girl. Like, put the billionaires against each other, right? And then get as much money out of them as you can, because they don't need it. Fuck them. Like, you get yours, Mariah May. I hope that's what she's doing. Like, manipulate the situation.
Yes, absolutely. She should, for every dollar that's worth, like, and then if Tony, and again, Tony's got to be smart too and being like, hey, man, if you want to go there, go there. Because again, that well's getting awful full. And the women, like, I take the temperature over there sometimes. The women aren't being booked the way they were 4 or 5 years ago. Right?
WWE?
In WWE, man, that's the female. They don't seem to get as much time as they used to get, and there's not as much space. So,
I feel like that's always the conversation in all the companies.
It is, but I mean, like,
there's always a bunch of complaining about them not getting enough time.
I mean, like, but I mean, put it this way: the stopwatch is not as full as it once was.
Yeah, I don't know. I still watch Raw every week, and women are all over that show. They even have a women's Intercontinental Champion. And I'm like, do we really need this title? But they're all over that show. I do know that there is for WrestleMania that you're gonna like this. So the night one main event is CM Punk versus Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. So CM Punk is headlining WrestleMania, by the way.
Dreams do come true.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious because he made fun of MJF saying, yeah, you probably headline like night number four. Well, I can't remember what the line was.
It's like night number four of a buy one, get one extravaganza. And he told him, I'll still be here. Boy, that's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. The irony. That's fine. But I mean, look, it is a big match. And like, I know they'll probably do 50,000 strong for that show and have one of the biggest gate that they've ever had because of how fucking expensive those tickets are. But, anyway. He's headlining, and I think there is some people out there that say that one of the women's matches should headline over, and I'm like,
I don't think so.
I don't know about that. That's fucking CM Punk and Roman Reigns. Like, Seth Rollins is there to take the pin, but it's Punk and Roman.
No, absolutely not. There's like, what women's story is more over? You're going to tell me Charlotte and Tiffany Stratton is more of an over storyline than Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins? Come on.
No, and neither is Rhea, Io Shirai, and Bianca, and I think that match is going to be very good because of the people that are in it.
They're good,
but I don't think that match is a bigger match. I think that it's more like you shouldn't do it because it's going to draw the most money. You should do it to be a nice person. I'm like, sorry, that's not what these people are. Like, that's not where they're at anymore. Stephanie's not running this company anymore. She ain't there. Like, Stephanie was the one kind of making some of that stuff happen back in the day. So like, that's not what these people are about. They're about like, what's the biggest drawing match of the night? Who's like, what match can we put on last and no one's going to leave before the main event? That's this match is Punk and Roman and Seth Rollins. Ain't nobody leaving until that match is over.
No, absolutely. And that's you and I both said that Tony and Mariah should have closed the Australia show, right?
Yeah.
We're going to be consistent on that. We'll be consistent. When something is over and draws, it should do it. But not the women's match isn't drawing to WrestleMania.
Okay.
Right? It's just that. Oh, you got to go?
No, I don't have to go. So I just got a message real quick. It says they pivoted Mariah May and Tony stuff because it wasn't working. It was bad, but they course corrected. So I think at a certain point, like that storyline had kind of like I got disinterested in it, but then it came back and it rebounded nicely. I thought they finished strong.
They did. And this is what matters. This is what makes wrestling different than any version of storytelling, is that it's organic and it breathes. Like when you write a book, it's done by the time someone reads it. You make a movie, it's been edited by the time someone sees it. You do a TV show, you can do things throughout the course to like correct, but like a wrestling story can ebb and flow and things. And like course correction isn't a bad thing, right? That actually shows that you're listening and you're creative enough to move and adjust. Oftentimes, specifically with AEW, we've seen times where course correction wasn't done when it needed to be done, and things did get deflated. So the fact that tone, and especially with AEW, things seem to peak too early sometimes, like various times throughout this company, we've seen that. The fact that they were able to stick that landing the way they did when maybe it wasn't perfect the whole way out is even more of a credit to them for doing it. And I think they deserve even more flowers for making it work at the end when it should have probably flattened out 3 or 4 times, but didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Okay. We got one last one, but I just got to say that this John Cena Cody Rhodes storyline has fucking bottomed out.
Has it really?
Yeah, I put that as my number 2 on my top 10 heel turns of all time, and they've already lost me. They could get me back. I'm pretty easy to get back, right? And I think those two guys are talented enough to be able to get me back, but they have gone 2 weeks in a row with the same boring ass shit. Where John Cena blaming the fans for the heel turn. The first interview with John Cena where he explained everything, I liked because he pointed out a little kid in the crowd and kind of was like, fuck this kid. I like stuff like that.
Yeah. Awesome.
They zoomed in on the kid's face. He's like brokenhearted. I enjoy it. I'm a sick person. Okay. I like stuff like that. But then they kind of did the same old boring stuff. They're not even mentioning the Rock portion of the storyline. They haven't even fought since then. Like Cody Rhodes doesn't appear to be all that mad about it. Like he got his ass kicked and humiliated, got his balls punched or kicked in the, he got kicked in the balls by John Cena. And he's just like ready to wrestle the guy in a few weeks. You would think that he'd want to be kicking his ass. Like every time they see like an on-site type of situation, that isn't happening. So I feel like they've lost the plot. They need to work hard to get it back. Cause right now they're boring me with this storyline.
I gotta be honest. I'm shocked that Cody hasn't shown up where Travis Scott is and beaten the shit out of him. Right? Because wouldn't that just be crossover, like mainstream crossover stuff? Because Travis Scott beat his ass. And if I'm Cody Rhodes, I'm like, I don't want some fucking rapper who's leeching onto my storyline to punk me out. Like, it just, you could tell that Triple H is like, was not the guy behind this. And it was Rock pushing this because, like, it doesn't seem like there's any time. Like, I bust on Triple H for being meat and potatoes booker, but there's like, this is just like broccoli booking. Like, it's like the main. It's like it's just there and there's nothing else, which is not fair because I like broccoli. But I mean, like, it's just, what else do we got? It's I'm very shocked that this has like literally no teeth to it at the moment. I thought it would have.
Yeah. Again, like I said, it's wrestling. They're overseas now. They could course correct. I think they very likely will in the coming weeks because as they get closer to WrestleMania, they still haven't sold out. A lot of people are dogging them for how many tickets that are still out.
It is less.
Like, you have to get a small business loan to buy tickets that fucking. So that's why they're not selling out. They got to lower them prices a little bit.
But. Yes, prices are pretty expensive last year, too.
Yeah.
WWE fans are stupid, man. If they want to see a show, they're willing to pay. Like, yeah. I don't know, man.
These are the worst that I've ever seen. I went to the one in L.A., and it was nowhere near. Like, we're talking, like, for nosebleeds, like, $800. I think in L.A. I spent, like, $150.
Well, it's a decade later, right? Like, ticket prices are stupid. And it's Vegas. The show's in Vegas. Vegas is you know, the tickets for anything in Vegas are going to be dumb. So, I mean, like, it's not a great wrestling city. It's hard to travel to, you know, it's not a super great wrestling town.
So the thing about wrestling there, it's a boxing town, it's an MMA town, and it's a concert town for real.
It's not a wrestling town. It never has been.
Yeah. Like WWE can still do pretty well there. And I think they've done Allegiant Stadium. They've done pretty well there. But the prices they're doing, they're like UFC level prices. And I'm like, this ain't the UFC, guys.
It's not the same kind of crowd either.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. And one of the things with Vegas is there's just so much other shit to do, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say,
like wrestle.
Yeah. The wrestling shows surrounding WrestleMania are all doing really well. I know TNA has a show like a 3,000 seater. I think that might already be sold out. If not, it's like close to being sold out. So, but their tickets are like $25 to get in. So
It's a great time to run a show. If you want to get people to watch your product, WrestleMania, it's like a festival, right? And it's been like that for 15 years now. WrestleMania weekend, where you get those kind of things in. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah. All right. Last topic. Speaking of WWE, it looks like AJ Styles. There's a rumor going around. I know we talked about it a couple weeks. I talked about it on Joe Lanza's show like 3 weeks ago, I think. Rumors are trickling out that AJ Styles, when his deal is up, it might be up sooner rather than later. And then when it's up, maybe a little Bullet Club reunion in AEW. The Good Brothers look like they're already posting videos wearing AEW gear. The Young Bucks posted pictures with them and the Good Brothers and AJ Styles, like old school Ring of Honor picture. They posted that recently. There's some, you know, kind of word going around. And I think, who's the guy? The fucking New York guy. What did he say on his podcast?
He said he's got a. They were talking about the eventual Kenny Okada. I believe I didn't listen to the show, but I believe they're talking about the eventual Kenny Okada match they're building for All In. And he's like, I got something. It's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, well, and Zarian's very. You know, he hits the nail on the head with a lot of his hints. So
and he likes to do the eyeball emojis and shit.
He does. He's a big fan of that. Yeah. I remember All Out 2021. He tweeted a picture of a Panama sunrise.
Yeah.
You know, when Adam Cole came in, like he's that guy. He's good at what he does too. So I'm not hating on the guy. AJ's best days are behind him. Right.
True.
But he's still really good. Yeah. And I do think there is mileage the Bullet Club has been so watered down in New Japan. But if you notice, they stopped calling Bang Bang Gang Bullet Club a long time ago. Like, it hasn't been Bullet Club Gold for a long time. So I do think there is some leverage to play out in a Bullet Club reunion in AEW.
Yeah.
I don't know where it goes, because reunions typically aren't great in wrestling. So my immediate instinct is to go, eh, but it is a new place. Like, they didn't do it in AEW. Like, there's never been a true Bullet Club in AEW specifically. So maybe this can be an exception to the rule. I don't know. I don't hate it.
They don't even have to call it Bullet Club.
Yes, they do.
You think they do?
100. They need to steer back. And not like the Hulk call it Bullet Club. They have to go back to that original t-shirt design, right? They need to steer back into that whole thing and remember the whole reason why AEW exists is because of the Bullet Club.
I still have that original t-shirt design, by the way. It's in my closet.
Here. I have a onesie. Andy had a Bullet Club onesie. That's something.
Nice. That's pretty nice. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. All right. Ewan says NWO 2000. You know, it wouldn't know because Bret Hart replaced Hulk Hogan and Jeff Jarrett like was in that. And like then you had the Outsiders. This would be NWO 2002 with Hulk and Hall and Nash. But those guys were shot by then.
Yeah, but that was kind of working though until they decided the WWE what made NWO 2000 not work was they refused to book it like the NWO.
Yeah,
right. They refused to do that.
Well, and then Bret got the concussion, right? Bret gets the concussion.
Well, the 2000 doesn't even matter. That's Vince Russo, and it wasn't the NWO. Yeah,
but NWO 2002 is what you're talking about,
right? NWO 2002, because that was actually the NWO. That was actually a reunion. What short circuited that was Scott Hall's alcoholism. Right, and the fact that Hulk Hogan got super over
as a
baby face in the Rock match, and they refused to book. Vince was never going to let the NWO be what the NWO really was. Right, whereas I think here, if you bring the original Bullet Club, and not the original because you want to dev it, but I mean like with the Bullet Club that became famous in the United States, which is AJ Styles, the Good Brothers, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, right. That's the Bullet Club that became famous here.
Right.
You could do that. Right. Because it's been a decade. It's been a decade since that whole thing got back together. So there could be something there.
Yeah. Yeah. There could be. And it could be a good swan song for AJ Styles. He could have some, like, we can get AJ versus Will Ospreay.
And it feels like they've been setting that up for a good year with AJ, with Ospreay using the Styles Clash as a finisher at certain points.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like that's kind of where they've been going. And I think this year has to be the year that Ospreay gets the title, I think. So they have a tailor-made world title match right there.
Swerve Strickland, Will Ospreay in Texas. It's got to happen.
There you go. All right, well, we're going to end it on that. Thanks, everybody in the chat. I really greatly appreciate it. Sorry about the technical difficulties as we first got on the air. Sorry for my backdrop being filled with shadows and, like, just my headboard in my bedroom. But I think we turned out a pretty good show. Thanks to all the TNA fans over here. Head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. JD, we got more Mid-South content coming up soon.
Two episodes this week, Mid-South Madness, because spring break slowed me down. So we'll do two. I'm going to put one up probably tomorrow afternoon, and the other one up on Friday.
Okay. So two more episodes, and then I'll try to be back in the middle of the week at some point and see whatever news breaks. We'll see. Last time we had breaking news, I went to the YouTube because I thought it was just big. So, but I'll try to make sure I go to the Patreon first on the next news story. But that's going to do it for us this week. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain. From the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game. Better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain.
We went long, but I think we had.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.